this morning to gather together and really to celebrate and look at Christmas. And today, what we're going to do is really to focus in and center in on the Christmas story and the Christmas narrative here today. But what we want to do and what I want to do here is kind of add some context to this story. So the Christmas story, maybe it's something that you are very familiar with. You hear it every year and you know about it. Maybe it's kind of new to you, but my hope today is that I can kind of add some context to this story and we can center around it today. So I'm going to wait till pretty much the middle of the message and we'll take some time in the middle and we're going to center around this story today. You know, as our worship team was already saying, Christmas is really all about this title that we call Jesus, and it's the title of Emmanuel. And Emmanuel, it means God with us. What is Christmas all about? It's about God with us. It's about recognizing that our God, he's not far away, he's not distant, but he is so close to us. But today my hope, as we center in on the Christmas story, is to center in on the character of our God. I think it's so important for us to recognize what we actually think about God. Because I'm willing to bet that many of us here today, we have a skewed image of who God truly is. Like maybe you don't even realize it, but deep down we're actually kind of a little bit scared of God. Maybe when we think of God immediately, we almost think of someone that is far away or uncaring or maybe even angry. And we're actually deep down kind of scared of God. And these things can make us hesitate to know him. These things, these skewed misunderstandings of who God truly is can keep us from pursuing him. And if we have these skewed views of God, then hearing a story about God coming to be with us might not be joyful. It might be kind of scary. So my hope today is we can center in on who God truly is. So that you kind of have a picture of what I'm talking about here, we're going to jump back to the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is the first part of the Bible written before the Christmas story, before Jesus comes. And we're going to be looking very briefly at a book called Amos. A book called Amos, particularly in Amos chapter 4. And in this chapter, God is speaking. And he's really, what he's doing is he's recounting the story of humanity. And if you're familiar with the biblical story, you probably know that God's people are always rebelling against God. God's people, they're always messing up. They're always pushing God away. They're always doing evil things. And this is what God is talking about. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter. You can go read it if you'd like. But it's a very repetitive chapter where God keeps saying, I did this thing so that you would return to me. And then he keeps repeating five different times. He repeats this line, yet you have not returned to me. And he keeps going. He says, and then I did this thing so that you would come to me, yet you have not returned to me. And five times God keeps repeating that. And you can hear really the voice of a father just begging his children to return to him. And then eventually in verse 12 here, it says this. And this is a really interesting verse for us. Therefore, this is what I will do to you, Israel. And because I will do this to you, Israel, prepare to meet your God. Prepare to meet your God. And what does that really mean? Because if you think about it in the context of this chapter, it's about how God's people keep doing evil things, about how they keep not listening to God and disobeying God. And in that context, if you read, prepare to meet your God, it sounds a little ominous, right? Like if I were to write kind of an ominous line, it might be that. It sounds kind of menacing. It could be understood as a scary sentence. Prepare to meet your God. There's something about that maybe could sound scary if we have a skewed understanding of who God truly is. Like what does that mean, God, that you are coming and we have to prepare to meet you? And throughout history, this verse almost has been interpreted as a type of threat, which I think is deeply wrong. That actually this isn't a scary threat, but a beautiful promise. That we people, we keep doing evil and wrong, and we can't reach God. So what this is about how God's going to come and meet us. And we think about this, if you read that and it sounds kind of scary, that could make sense. Because this is in a chapter all about how God's people are evil and doing wrong and not listening to God. And it's like, well, what's God's response going to be to that? And in the Christmas story, it's almost shocking to find that God's response to our evil is humble, sacrificial love. And this is the character of our God, that even when we are doing wrong and doing evil and pushing God away, that he loves us so much. Friends, if we learn anything today, I pray that we could know that our God is not scary. Our God is not mean and out to get us, but even in the most shocking of times, he loves us. To kind of drive in this point and this character of God, I want to read from 1 John chapter 4. I'll just read two verses to start. It says this: "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." And as we think about it, like a lot of us, we probably have these skewed perspectives of who God truly is. What is his character actually like? And John sums it up here in three words: God is love. Think about that statement. That is who he is. God is not out to get us, but he cannot wait to share his love for us. This is who he is. And we can think about that statement in the book of Amos: prepare to meet your God. That's not something that's scary, but it's a beautiful promise that we are about to encounter love itself. It's God saying, I know you won't pursue me, so I'm going to pursue you. And it's God saying that he wants to be with us, and he wants to give us life and save us. And if we actually think about it, this story, it makes no sense, right? The story of grace and of love, it makes no sense because we don't deserve this. We haven't earned this love, but God offers it to us freely as a gift because he wants to be with us. And all we have to do is say yes and accept his gift of grace and love. This is the character of our God, who meets our defiance with grace. Quite a few years ago now, I used to work in summer camp ministries, and we would work with kids and teenagers, and it was always super hectic, but super fun. And there was one week in particular where I was a cabin leader, right? And my cabin was particularly troubled. I don't know if you've ever worked with teenagers. It was like a junior high age group. And they were particularly troubled. And there was one young man in particular who was in this group. And they kind of gave me a bit of a briefing on him. He had a troubled past. His home life wasn't good. And when he got to the camp, right away, he started doing a lot of not great things. And he was doing... He was starting fights, and he was doing inappropriate things, and he wasn't listening. Super difficult teenager that I had to deal with. And one day, he did something particularly bad that I'm not even going to talk about. But he did something inappropriate, and I was like, oh, man, I'm kind of in charge of this kid. So I had to go talk to him. So as I'm walking to this teenage boy, I'm trying to rack my brain. I'm like, okay, what am I going to say to him, right? Like, it's kind of this awkward context. I feel like I have to kind of punish him in some way. He did something bad. What am I going to do? And as I was walking up to him, I felt God say to me, Tim, be patient and loving and full of grace. And in my head, I was trying to rack my brain, like, okay, how am I going to punish this kid? And then God said that to me, and I was like, okay, let's give it a shot. I walk up to him, and you know the look in their eyes when they look guilty, right? He knew why I was coming to him. And I walk up to him. He's fully expecting me to, you know, punish him in some way, get mad at him maybe. And I look at him, and I call him by name. And I just said, hey, I know that you did this thing. We know it was you. And I wonder if you're doing this to get attention or something like that, but I just want you to know that we love that you're here. That you don't have to do that kind of thing to be seen here. We see you, and we are so thankful that you're here. And you could just see in his eyes that that was a response he would have never expected. And even in the next couple of days, how much a response like that made a difference in his heart. Friends, this is the Christmas story. That yes, we deserve punishment, but God comes down with unconditional love and grace. Let me keep reading out of 1 John here. It says this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. I love that line there. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. How do we doubt God's love? Deep down, are we kind of scared that God's just out to get us? How do we doubt God's love? Because his love for us is so much greater than we could ever imagine. And I think these verses make it very clear that a Christian is not about being a good person. Being a Christian, it doesn't mean you follow rules well. Being a Christian, it doesn't mean you know the Bible well or you're a better person or even that you follow God really well or you volunteer in the church a lot. That's not what being a Christian is. But really, a Christian is somebody who has encountered the radical, life-changing love of God. And we've encountered this love and it changes us. We see God who sacrifices himself and he lowers himself to be with us and to give us life. And we say, I want that. I want that. And we accept his gift of love and of grace. You see, God's love, it has nothing to do with who we are. God's love, it has nothing to do with who we are. God's love, it has nothing to do with what we do. Maybe you've done something and you feel like God could never forgive you. He already has. God's love is constant. It has nothing to do with who we are, what we've done, but everything to do with who he is. His love for us is constant, and that's what we see as we look to the manger in the Christmas story. That God loves us so much that he needed to be with us and he needed to be just like us. So as promised, why don't we center around the Christmas story here this morning? I love the book of Colossians. It describes Jesus as the image of the invisible God. Really means that when Jesus comes and we look at him, we see God himself. So we're going to read the Christmas story. So I invite you, maybe you need to take a deep breath, settle in, shift, maybe wake up your neighbor, I don't know. But let's read this story together as we center around the manger today. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius, that was a hard one, was governor of Syria. and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there the shepherds, living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." This is the word and the story of our Lord. As we reflect on the Christmas story, it really is about God with us, about how we can't save ourselves, we can't be good enough, we can't reach God, so he comes down to us. And even as we read that story in the Gospel of Luke, isn't it amazing and isn't it even strange, just the context of what is happening, that Jesus, the God of all creation, he's born in an animal shelter. He's literally in a barn. He's born in a barn, and they wrap him in cloth, and they don't have anywhere to put him, so they put him in a manger, which is, it's really just a water trough. It's something animals would have drank out of. And he's born to this young woman that nobody's really heard of. And it's such a strange context. And even, do you know who is celebrating the birth of Jesus? It's these random shepherds, like on the side of the road. It's such a strange story as we reflect on Jesus arriving. And I think it's beautiful that God's kingdom and his presence is first revealed in these places. God's kingdom and his presence is first revealed in a dirty place, among the poor, among the unimportant that everybody would have overlooked. This is where God's kingdom and presence first arrive. Isn't it amazing that Jesus, he didn't come as this important and wealthy and powerful king, but he comes as a lowly servant. And as he comes, there is nowhere in all creation unchanged by his presence. We can think of this in a big picture, right? Jesus, he comes down, he enters into humanity. Even throughout the Gospels, we read his life as a servant. He serves the poor and the sick. He washes his disciples' feet. This is Jesus. And we're amazed to follow his story even as he dies on the cross. And remember, wherever Jesus goes, as we read the story in the Gospels, he brings light and life. And it's contagious from him. Everywhere he goes, his presence, it transforms everything. And he even takes our place on the cross and dies. But even the grave cannot hold him. And he raises again. At the beginning of the Gospel of John, John's just trying to figure out how he's going to describe Jesus. And one of the ways is he calls Jesus the light. And he says this, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Notice the present tense. The light shines in the darkness. and the darkness has not overcome it. Wherever Jesus is and he touches all of creation, it is changed by his light and his life and his love. That's kind of big picture Christmas story. But friends, as we reflect on this story of the manger, think of what this means for us. Think of what this means that our God entered in to such a messy situation. That this is where God chose to be. And we can reflect on the fact that God is not far away, but he is the God in our mess. Do you ever feel like everything's kind of going wrong in your life? Like everything's kind of chaotic or just not going well? Or even this Christmas is supposed to be a time of like joy and of peace, but realistically, it can be a season of just pure chaos, right? Or maybe it's even a season of grief for you right now. It can be a time of real chaos and pain. Or even if it's not that serious, is anybody having a perfectly peaceful Christmas season right now? No, Chloe's not. None of us are. None of us. Maybe we just feel the weight of the world on our shoulders. Do you just feel like the weight of your own expectations or external expectations that you'll probably never actually live up to perfectly? Or maybe you're just suffering quietly in some way this season. Well, we can look to the manger and we can see that our God gets it. We can look to the manger and see that our God has come down and he's lived the full human experience and he understands our pain. He gets it. The God who has actually entered into our mess. And remember, it doesn't matter who we are, what we've done, who you are, God came down for you. He entered into your mess even, and he is the God that's not far away, but he's the God that gets it, who's been through the human experience. He's been through the mess of life. He understands our pains. God's light and his love, it reaches all parts of creation, and it changes everything. God, he's not looking at you and wanting you to be perfect. He's not looking at you and wanting you to do more or anything like that. But he looks at you and he just wants you. And he wants you to know his love in this Christmas season. He couldn't imagine creation without you, and this is Christmas. The God that couldn't stay far away, who couldn't consider himself being God as something to stay up in heaven, but he lowered himself to be with us as a servant. This is the Christmas story. And this is why he came to be with us and to be just like us. Our God that gets it. Our God that is relatable to us and reaches every part of our own lives. Every part of our lives. You see, God, he doesn't just affect Sunday mornings when you show up to church. But as we see in the Christmas story, he brings hope, peace, joy, and love to all parts of the world and all parts of our own contexts and lives. So as I start to close today, I want to ask us two questions. And the first is this: where do we need to shift this Christmas season? How do we need to shift in our understanding of who God is? Deep down, are we kind of scared of God a little bit? Do we kind of feel like God might be angry? Are we a little bit scared of who God is? Do we need to shift? And remember, as John beautifully says, that God is love. God who came in that manger as love embodied. The one who's not far away, but is so close to us and cares so deeply that he knows the full human experience, even death, our God in the humble manger. Today, where do we need to shift our understanding of his character? that he's not scary, but he is love. And my second question for us practically, I wonder, where do we need the hope and the peace of Jesus in our lives today? Where do we need to be changed by his love and his grace? Where are we maybe feeling desperate or alone or feeling despair, maybe feeling a lot of external pressures on us? Jesus cares about these things, and his light shines in our darkness. Where do we need the hope and the peace and the love of Jesus this Christmas season? Our God who is love and who reaches every part of creation. So I'll invite our worship team to come up. And I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer as we invite these things from Jesus. So God, today we look to you. And God, today we center around your humble manger. I pray, God, that you would help to transform us and help us to shift in our understanding of who you truly are, to know that you, God, are love. And God, today we invite your presence to transform our lives, that we would truly know your hope and your peace and your love today. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We invite you to rise for our last song. We'd like to send you out in joy and in peace and in hope. And as we learned a bit about today, you know, joy is not necessarily always just having no troubles or